ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद् भागवतम Canto 3, Chapter 12, Text 5. Translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Tan Bhabhashe Svabhuf Protran Praja Srijata Putrakaha Tannai chan moksha dharmano vasudeva parayanaha. It's verse 5, not verse 4. Translation. Brahma spoke to his sons after generating them. The sons here refer to the four Kumaras. Brahma spoke to his sons after generating them. My dear sons, he said, now generate progeny. But due to their being attached to Vasudeva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they aimed at liberation and therefore they expressed their unwillingness. Purport. The four sons of Brahma, the Kumaras, declined to become family men even on the request of their great father, Brahma. Those who are serious about gaining release from material bondage should not be entangled in the false relationship of family bondage. People may ask how the Kumaras could refuse the orders of Brahma, who was their father and above all the creator of the universe. The reply is that one who is Vasudeva Parayana, or seriously engaged in the devotional service of the Personality of Godhead Vasudeva, need not care for any other obligation. It is enjoined in the Bhagavatam, Devarshi Bhutapta Nrinam Pitrinam Na king karo nayam rini charajan saravatmanaya sharanam sharanyam gato mukundam parihritya kartam. Anyone who has completely given up all worldly relationships and has taken absolute shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, who gives us salvation and who alone is fit to be taken shelter of, is no longer a debtor or servant of anyone, including the demigods, forefathers, sages, other living entities, relatives, and members of human society. Thus, there was nothing wrong in the acts of the Kumaras when they refused their great father's request that they become family men. Om Jnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurinmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Shrestham Manamapi Shachiputram Atra Swarupam Rupam tasya grajamurupurim maturim goshtavatim Radha kundam girivaramaho radhika madhavasham Prapto yasya pratita kripaya shrigurum tam natosmi Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Atav Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavanscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhan Vitamscha. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Continuing the topic of disobeying one's guru or acting in a manner that is most likely to displease him. Here, the four Kumaras are being vindicated for refusing the order of Lord Brahma, the most veritable person in the universe. He told them to generate progeny, which would mean they would have to marry. They didn't want to because they wanted to concentrate on spiritual realization. There's another example of a similar incident with Priyavrata. This is at the beginning of the fifth canto of Bhagavatam. It's described how Priyavrata was ordered by his father, Manu, to give up his brahmacharya life. He was meditating, doing for spiritual advancement, Krishna consciousness. Because you're needed to rule the universe. And for that he has to marry. Rulers are not meant to be brahmacharis. Brahmacharis are not meant to be rulers. But Priyavrata was unwilling, and he was backed up in this matter by his guru, Narada. So one guru, the father, he's going to taking support from a higher authority, but then Manu went one rung higher still and called Lord Brahma, who's the guru of everyone in the universe, and the guru of Narada, his son. Not only guru in the sense of being his father, but also in the sense of giving him spiritual instruction. So then Narada, he acquiesced. And then Priyavrata also acquiesced. It was a different situation. Brahma could go on making more and more sons to generate progeny. But Manu was already old. He had two sons, and Priyavrata, he had to take over the universal affairs. So then Priyavrata, he agreed. So it's another example. In this case, he wanted to disobey the order of his guru, one guru, and accept the order of another guru. So it can become quite complex, and therefore we have in the Shastra so many histories are told, and especially in Mahabharata we find they're often very complex histories because life is like that. There are various rules in Shastra, for instance, that one should follow a guru, not disobey him. But then there are examples given of the opposite. And we heard yesterday, parityago vidhiyate. One must fully give up a guru, guru api, even if he's guru. He must be fully given up under certain circumstances. And then the histories, the Puranas and the Itihasas, Ramayana and Mahabharata, they give so much history, incidents, and commentators also comment on that. Apart from the commentators who write commentaries, there have been innumerable verbal commentators who, to their disciples or to a general audience, they speak on these topics and explain them. What are the lessons to be learned from all of this? And it goes on also, just like we discussed about the activities and teachings of Srila Prabhupada, which is another whole chapter in understanding Vedic knowledge. How did Srila Prabhupada act in this world? How did he instruct us in particular circumstances? So this point, rejecting a guru, disobeying the guru, it's a very sensitive point, has to be understood properly. Otherwise, if we don't get this point right, then we're in a lot of trouble, one way or the other. If we don't follow when we should follow, or if we follow when we shouldn't follow. Now, yesterday I spoke about Hriday Chaitanya's displeasing his guru. He didn't disobey any order, but he acted in the estimation of his guru, Gauri Das Pandit. He acted in an independent manner. He should have taken permission before he organized a festival. So he displeased him in that way, but then at least superficially displeased him. But then the guru became very pleased when he saw that his disciple has captured Gaur Nitai in his heart. He became very pleased. Now, Hriday Chaitanya himself, later, he also became very displeased with a disciple who apparently had acted in a very wrong way. And, well, I'll tell the whole thing. Not the whole thing, but some of it. You maybe know. It's a very sweet narration. There was a boy named Dukhi who came to, he was actually from Utkal, Orissa, and he came to the ashram of taking permission from his parents, who are Vaishnavas. He came to the ashram of Hriday Chaitanya, which is the same as the ashram of Gauri Das, after Gauri Das had passed on. So he came there and was admitted, as he was given the name Krishna Das, so he became known as Dukhi Krishna Das. Then seeing that this Krishna Das was very intelligent, very good devotee, young boy, Hriday Chaitanya, who was in the mood of friendship with Gaur Nitai. His sthayi bhav, or his overwhelming mood in devotional service, was one of friendship with the Supreme Lord. So he sent this boy to Vrindavan to study under Jiva Goswami, because he was by far the most respected teacher of Krishna consciousness at that time. And he was most, and still is, most authoritative. Our sampradaya is known as Rupanuga. Sometimes we say Jivanuga also. Followers of Jiva Goswami. So this young Krishna Das, he went and he had good fellow students, Narottam and Srinivas. So apart from studying, they had to do some physical service also. So this Krishna Das, he asked for some service to be done, and Jiva Goswami gave him the service of sweeping Seva Kunj. Nowadays, if you go to Vrindavan, you can see a walled-in area called Seva Kunj. Actually, it's a much bigger area, but Loi Bazaar, and it's all encroached on that area, you could say, in one way. So that area is where Radha and Krishna and the gopis come at night, every night, and do their Rasa Lila. So Krishna Das, Dukhi Krishna Das, was given the service of sweeping there every morning just to make it nice and neat and clean for Krishna's pastimes. One day he found a woman's bangle, what was that called? Nupur. What's anklet? Anklet is the English word. Very beautiful. I'd never seen such a beautiful thing, and anklet or any such thing. So he picked that up, and he thought, "Well, I'll try and find out who that belongs to, and I can return it." So after some time, he saw a very, very, very beautiful young girl approach him, and she asked that, "Have you seen any such thing? Because my Swamini," which is translated in English as mistress, but it's not a very nice word, so we'll say Swamini, she lost it. So this Krishna said, "Yeah, but I want to give it back personally to whoever it belongs." He was getting a little idea what was going on, because this is the dancing place of Krishna and the gopis, so probably it came off during dancing. Who is it? So this young girl, who happened to be Vishakha Gopi, the very intimate companion of Sri Radha, he told her, "You just go take bath in the pond, then you come. Then you can give to her." So this young boy took bath in the pond and came out with a female form. Something unusual is going on here. And then Sri Radha, who that anklet belonged to, personally came. And she was very pleased with this young boy, who is now a young girl. That's his form in Krishna Leela as a young girl. So she took that anklet and placed it on his forehead. And it made an impression. You can imagine like something like a U. So she told him, her, that from now on your name is Shyamananda. Shyamananda, one who takes pleasure in Shyama. So that can be understood either as Krishna, Shyama, or Shyama, Radha. So this boy who is now Shyama, so what happened? He's told to take, before getting initiated, you take a bath, right? You have to take a bath. And you get given a name and you get given tilak. Actually, you're supposed to get given tilak at the time of initiation. So practically, he was initiated by Radha. So then, as he went out of Seva Kunja, again his male form was assumed. He told Jiva Goswami everything that had happened. And Jiva Goswami congratulated him on his good fortune and said, "Don't tell anyone this, but we'll call you Shyamananda." And that tilak mark, because he already had a tilak mark previously from Hriday Chaitanya, that changed and it stayed there. And up to the present time, his followers in disciplic succession, the Shyamanandis, as they're called, they keep this this style of tilak. And in fact, Rasik Mangal opens with that description of Shyamananda. He was so fortunate he was given the name and tilak directly by Sri Radha. So this, everyone noticed, all the Vaishnavas in Vrindavan, that he has a different tilak and he has a different name. What's going on? His guru's way, way over there in Bengal, and he's come to Jiva Goswami, and now it seemed like Jiva Goswami would give him another name and another tilak, which Jiva Goswami himself wasn't wearing. How can you give one kind of tilak to someone if you yourself have a different kind? Because it has to be in the same sampradaya. You're initiated in the Sampradaya. So it became a talking point, although no one wanted to directly blame Jiva Goswami because they had such great respect for him. So Hriday Chaitanya became, when the news got back there, because there's always, although it's a long way, there are always, and you had to go by walking, or you could go by boat also, but most of the devotees, they'd go by walking. It's an easy to find your way. You just go along the Yamuna to Prayag, and then you go along the Ganga, and when the Ganga goes into East Bengal, you continue following the Ganga, Bhagirathi, down to Navadvip, and then from Navadvip you have to go a little further down to Kalna. That's where. So anyway, the news would have reached Navadvip, and any news of any import that reached about the Vaishnavas from Navadvip would certainly reach to Kalna. So Hriday Chaitanya found out, he became very upset. So he went to Vrindavan, which means quite a long walk back, and he saw Hriday Chaitanya, he was very angry at him. He saw Shyamananda. And then Shyamananda explained what had happened. Then he became pacified. Now you may wonder how Radha gave another initiation when he was already initiated. Does that mean that Hriday Chaitanya, the initiation he'd given was invalid? No. But Hriday Chaitanya, he gave initiation in the friendly mood, Sakya Bhav, and Sri Radha admitted Shyamananda into his eternal form of Gopi Bhav. So there's another incident. It's a little bit above our level. If anyone's experiencing Gopi Bhav, please let us know. We'll be very happy to know. If we're convinced it's true. We might not be. The duty, using the word convince, is the duty of the guru to convince the disciple about the teachings of the Srimad Bhagavatam. One should hear and accept what the guru says. Not that one is constantly challenging. Tadvidhi pranipatena. In accepting a guru, the first thing mentioned is pranipat, falling down, which means offering obeisances. Not that you fall down in the sense that we use it, but fall down on the ground, offer obeisances. One should be submissive. Now we find in Srimad Bhagavatam that sometimes Parikshit, he disagreed with Shukadev, and Shukadev actually set him up to disagree. We find at the beginning of the sixth canto, when Parikshit, after hearing about the hellish punishments, which are described at the end of the fifth canto, he asked, well, how can people get free from these sinful reactions? And Shukdev said, well, there's a process called prayaschitta, atonement. But Parikshit wasn't satisfied. Prayaschitta vimarshanam. He wasn't satisfied. He said, well, we see that just like a thief is caught and punished, and again he steals, and again gets punished. So what's the use of this prayaschitta? Because you may get free from some sinful reaction, but again you sin, and again you become subject to reactions. So Shukdev then advocated a process of simply following the path of jnana, but then Parikshit also wasn't satisfied with that. So actually Shukadeva was testing Parikshit to see if he'd... By saying the wrong thing, he was testing Parikshit to see if Parikshit was hearing attentively and understanding. Then Shukadeva gave the real answer, which is, anyone know, famous verse? Say it. Say it loudly. Bhaktya Vasudeva Parayana. Same word that comes in the verse I just read here. Then? Aghang dhunvanti katsnena Niharam iva bhaskar. Nice example given. Kechit. Only some people. Means there may be many karmis, there may be less number of jnanis, but a few, much smaller number is expected. Kechit kevalaya bhaktya vasudeva parayana aghang dhunvanti katsnena niharam eva bhaskara. Just as the sun is the only way to dispel the fog. When the sun rises, the early morning fog is dispelled. The sun has to be strong enough to dispel it. I remember seeing once in England, it was midday. And the sun, you could see through the fog. You could just... It wasn't strong enough to dispel it. The fog went on all morning. That was unusual, even in England. So it has to be a strong devotional service, and that will... So the... By pure devotional service, specifically said, kevalaya bhaktya, by someone who is attached to Vasudeva, some few people. Few people means not many are expected to take to it. Pure devotional service. Kevalaya, no karma, no jnana. Jnana karma dhyana vritam. They can become freed from all sin. Just as the sun dispels the fog. There's no other way to dispel the fog. You can bring big blowing machines, or you can bring big lamps or heaters, but only the sun can dispel the fog. Some examples from Srila Prabhupada's pastimes of devotees disagreeing with Srila Prabhupada. Or actually, Srila Prabhupada gave a theoretical example. This is not... Well, it is disobeying, but it's disobeying with a good intention. But still it's foolish. Srila Prabhupada gave the example. The guru asked the disciple to bring a glass of water. And the disciple thinks, well, milk is better than water, so let me bring a glass of milk. But the guru asks for a glass of water. So it's over-intelligence. When you need to drink water, then you want to drink water. And drinking milk is for another purpose. It's not specifically for quenching thirst. Some examples of Tamal Krishna Goswami. One time it's mentioned in Shruta Kirti Prabhu's book. It doesn't mention the name, but I know who it is. He was practically almost verbally fighting with Srila Prabhupada. I have to leave. I have to go back to the West. I'm not going to stay in India anymore. At that time, devotees didn't like to stay in India. Hardly they liked to stay, for various reasons. The real preaching field was in the West. Things were exploding. The Hare Krishna explosion was still going on. In India, it was hard work going to the lawyers and the municipality, the corporation people, and Many Indian people were enthusiastic to take to Krishna, to receive the devotees, but few of them seemed to be very sincere to take it up wholeheartedly. And even whoever joined, in most cases you had to be careful because they joined to steal. That was their purpose in joining. So anyway, eventually Prabhupada, he let him go. He really didn't give him much choice. And he, because Srila Prabhupada was relying on Tamal Krishna Maharaj. Actually, you have to give it to him that he lasted much longer than others who Srila Prabhupada brought to manage. And he brought Karanda, Jagadish, Bhagavan, so he came in, yeah, Prabhupada, don't worry, I'm here now. And then all confident, and then so on the next day, a little less confident. The next day, looking not confident at all. The next day, looking completely fried. And within a week, he was gone. So Tamal Krishna Maharaj lasted more than 2 years. But Prabhupada told that you can go, but I can't. You can give up this responsibility. I cannot. So eventually, Srila Prabhupada came to America on his tour, and actually, the main point in him coming was to bring Tamal Krishna Maharaj back. So he asked. So Srila Prabhupada asked Tamal Krishna Maharaj, "So what have you achieved by coming here?" And Tamal Krishna Maharaj said, "Yeah, I'm doing a lot of preaching." And Prabhupada said, "What are the results?" And then Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he knew Prabhupada very well, so he was ready for that. So he'd made, with his traveling party, it was actually Vishnu Jan Swami's traveling party, which he'd moved, he'd joined himself to, and really brought it up to another level. So he brought in one by one. Bring in the men one by one. So one young American brahmachari, nicely shaved head, came in, offered obeisances. This is Bhakta so-and-so. He's distributing so many books every week. And this went on. He brought about 20 men, and they're all distributing so-and-so. And Prabhupada said, okay, good, very good. This is your field. You stay here. So he disobeyed very strongly, you could say. But then ultimately he satisfied Srila Prabhupada. And one incident that happened just before Srila Prabhupada left this world. We know the Srila Prabhupada's disappearance day comes just 2 days after Govardhan Puja. So for Govardhan Puja, Srila Prabhupada, you can imagine what condition he was in just before passing away. He wanted to go on parikrama of Govardhan by bullock cart. And his disciples who were there in Vrindavan were divided. One group, in which Tamal Krishna Maharaj especially was very prominent because Tamal Krishna Maharaj was Srila Prabhupada's secretary, said, "No, we can't let you go in this condition. You won't live." And Prabhupada said, "Well, anyway, if I don't live, to die on parikrama is good." And the other group was saying, "No, we have to do what Prabhupada says. We have to follow his order." And Loknath Maharaj went to Mathura and arranged a bullock cart, and it was waiting outside to take Prabhupada. And eventually, Tamal Krishna and some others, I think Bhavananda was there, and they just begged Prabhupada, "Please don't go." And then he said, "Oh, all right, I can't, Prabhupada said that. I can't refuse when you're so much disturbed." And afterwards, Tamal Krishna Maharaj said to Srila Prabhupada that, "I think you did this just to increase our love for you." Prabhupada said, "That is my duty." So they disobeyed Srila Prabhupada, and he was pleased at seeing his disciples fighting among themselves in this case. "No, we should do our promises." "No, we can't." So there's What would you do in such a situation? It's very difficult to say. Should you do what he says? Or should you refuse to do what he says? Very difficult to say, but Srila Prabhupada was the first time that he met or had darshan of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, immediately, on the spot. Well, there was some discussion, but I mean the first time that he met him. Well, Abhay, as he was called at the time, was arguing that you're talking about preaching this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, but India is a dependent country, and what can we do in if a dependent country? Who's going to listen to us, to a slaves? He was promoting Gandhi's, not only Gandhi, but it became especially associated with Gandhi, the idea of Gandhi's resistance, independence movement. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said that Krishna consciousness is so important it can't wait for any political adjustment. And he felt himself defeated. Just, we can relate this to, it's somewhat similar to nowadays among our ISKCON devotees in India, there's a lot of enthusiasm about this Hindutva. But I see it's something similar, that let's develop the nation and make a Hindu state and all this, but political adjustment. We can't put our energy into some political adjustment. We have to put our energy into preaching Krishna consciousness. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, having defeated him on that point, said to himself and his companion that you are educated young men, you should preach Krishna consciousness all over the world. So not only it should be spread all over the world, but you should do it. On the first meeting. So Srila Prabhupada later, he said that, I didn't obey my guru's order, but I didn't do it immediately. So he said, that may be possible. If you're not able to do it immediately, you can do it later. But that again shouldn't be used as an excuse. Yeah, I'll do it later. Bring me a glass of water. Okay, so Prabhupada, he was told in 1922 and he went to 1965. So 41 years later, you bring a glass of water. No, not like that. Other instances, not disobeying exactly, but whimsically abandoning a guru. I have a disciple, or supposed to be a disciple, who had a very good wife and a son, and just left the wife. No reason, and just stopped, didn't tell me he left me, but just stopped communicating. And when someone asked him, said, well, I don't feel any connection with myself. I don't feel any connection. Why? What changed? I didn't change. He changed. I didn't ask him to become my disciple. He asked. No, I don't feel any connection. And then he's giving interviews saying, oh, I'm feeling so much bliss chanting the holy names. What is this bliss in chanting the holy names? Just whimsically abandoning one's guru. I'm going to read from a transcript of a class that Srila Prabhupada gave in Tokyo on January the 30th, 1974. Srila Prabhupada said, Kali Yuga means the age of disagreement. The age of disagreement. So at the present moment, we are in the Kali Yuga. Everyone disagrees with the other. Even the so-called disciple also disagrees with the spiritual master. This is the influence of Kali Yuga. One becomes a disciple of a spiritual master, then he whimsically disagrees. So why, if you disagree, why should you accept somebody as spiritual master? That is not very good. That is the way of not being successful. We are chanting every day that Yasya prasadad bhagavat prasadaha. By satisfying the spiritual master, one can satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yasya prasadat, by the satisfaction of the spiritual master. Sangsara dava nalalidhaloka charnaya karanya ghana ghanatvam. One of the symptoms is this, that spiritual master is so bona fide. Before accepting somebody as spiritual master, you must know about his bona fide. That time is allowed. It is said in the Shastras that if you like to accept somebody as spiritual master, you should associate with him at least for 1 year. See how things are going on. If you follow, of course, others, that is also good. But personally, it is advised that you just remain with the proposed spiritual master for at least 1 year, so that the spiritual master is also given a chance to study you, whether you are acceptable. This is the process. But when one leaves a spiritual master, there may be some reason. That reason is also given in the Shastra. And then Srila Prabhupada quoted the verse that we read yesterday. Guru rapya valiptasya karya karyam ajanataha. Srila Prabhupada just quoted half the verse there. Karya karyam. If the spiritual master does not know what is actually to be done, what is actually not to be done, and he acts against the rules and regulation of the Shastra, then such spiritual master may be given up. But so long you do not find the spiritual master is doing against the principles of Shastra or Guru, then if you give up the company of the spiritual master, that is not good for you. That is your downfall. First of all, you must take sufficient time to study the movements of a spiritual master. Spiritual master is one, the spiritual master, because there may be many spiritual masters, but if their business is one, to satisfy Krishna, although there are many, they are one. Although there are many, they are still one. The principle is one, to satisfy Krishna. Such is the position of the spiritual master that yasya prasadad bhagavat prasadaha. If you try to please your spiritual master, then God, Krishna, becomes pleased. That is natural. So, to overstep a non-Vaishnav guru like Shukra, as did Bali Maharaj, that's one thing. But it's extremely bold or foolhardy to overstep the topmost Paramahamsa Srila Prabhupada. Well, we see in one case, I gave two cases of Tamal Krishna Maharaj and others doing so. So you really, it's a risky thing. Srila Prabhupada is the topmost Paramahamsa Vaishnava sent by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to spread Krishna consciousness. And he's given us all kinds of programs, all kinds of instructions on how to do so. So we can understand that this, what Srila Prabhupada told us to do, it's completely in line with Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all the previous acharyas. Srila Prabhupada was not some ordinary guru. There's no such thing as an ordinary guru. Guru is sakshad dharitvena samasta shastraya uktas tatha bhavyata eva sandhi. The guru is accepted as good as God. But even so, Srila Prabhupada, even among gurus, very special position as the special emissary of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So if one gets a specific order from Srila Prabhupada about something, and it makes it very emphatic, whether it's something about education, gurukul, varnashram, welfare work, or even in general, if we see Srila Prabhupada's orders about feeding the poor and all things like that. We should take it very seriously. Just as an aside here, this year when I was in Europe, I saw one of my godbrothers. He was just passing away. He passed away when I was in Europe. And he was trying to live on because Srila Prabhupada... What happened? He was translating Srila Prabhupada. He told Srila Prabhupada that I'm translating your books in German, into German. Srila Prabhupada said, you should see to it that all my books are published in all the languages of the world. And then just toward the end of his life, he started thinking that, well, I haven't done that. I haven't put any energy into that. He passed away without doing it. Of course, it's a huge challenge to do so. Anyway, getting back to that point, that following Srila Prabhupada's instructions is essential to keep this whole movement on track. And it's essential for keeping the whole... This movement means it's supposed to be coming in the line of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So keeping the whole parampara intact. Now, one shouldn't disobey one's guru. That's a practical example. That's axiomatic. Almost. There are exceptions, as we've seen. Now, if it's seen that your guru is disobeying his guru, then what do you do? If we see that within ISKCON it's not doing what Srila Prabhupada wanted, then what should you do? Try to correct it. Otherwise, what should one do? According to Shastra, one should abandon a guru who is not giving proper instruction. If Srila Prabhupada says, do this, and you come to find out that your guru is doing on some... Of course, if Srila Prabhupada says something like... Srila Prabhupada said that it is all right to distribute books wearing a Santa Claus outfit. He didn't say you must do it. So it's not that Srila Prabhupada's followers have to distribute books in Santa Claus outfits. But Srila Prabhupada, he wasn't against that. Although devotees stopped doing it because they found that for long-term book distribution, it was not very good because people didn't like that. It generated a bad reaction. Again, you can't generalize for every single case, but as a principle, one should follow a guru who follows his guru. And although it is shrouded in mystery, is not clear, but it does appear that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, even though he praises his initiating guru, Bipin Bihari Goswami, in writing, and that writing is still there, it's still published in Bengali. It appears that Bhaktivinoda Thakur distanced himself from Bipin Bihari Goswami. It's somewhat complex history, but it appears to be, and it's not solved actually, because some say he never did leave him. But it appears over the Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the discovering Mayapur. What is that? Gauravi Bhava Bhumestram Nidishta. The one who pointed it out is said to be Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, the birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Mayapur. But practically, he confirmed it, and all the background work was done by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Apparently, Bipin Bihari Goswami He didn't accept that, and then there was a rift. So if one sees that one's guru is not following properly, should be abandoned, and this is vital for keeping the parampara intact. Which is why we understand Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he didn't include Bipin Bihari in the list of acharya. He didn't claim disciplic discipline. Of course, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was initiated in a different line anyway, from Gaurakishore Das Babaji, but he didn't give credence to Bipin Bihari. And again, it's a big topic, which I won't get into that much. It can be very unpleasant and difficult to do. We can think how Bali, we heard yesterday how he thought for a little time, and then he decided what to do. Probably it wasn't an on-the-spot decision, because he knew that to disobey Shukra was not just an on-the-spur-of-the-moment decision, because he'd been hearing from Prahlad, Vishnu is the goal of life, but he was being trained and guided by Shukra, who was the guru of the demons. So circumstantially, Bali was acting as a demon. But he knew that actually the very people I'm fighting against and I've deposed from heaven, Indra, they are the Aditya. Aditya is the name for the sun, for Vamana, for all the sons of Aditi. So they're the godly people. I should be with them, actually. So he was anyway in a difficult and uncomfortable position, because his material duty went completely against his spiritual duty. He wasn't able to offered his activities to Vishnu as he would like to, but then he got the opportunity to do it all at once. One fell swoop, as it said. That he just offered everything to Vishnu. But everything, he had so much to give. How is that? By the grace of Shukra. It was Shukra who trained him, performed the sacrifices by which he got power, that he was able to conquer the heavenly planets. He must have had an affectionate relationship with him. So it wasn't such an easy thing. He'd done everything for Bali Maharaj. No guru in history had done for any disciple materially as much as Shukra had done for Bali. Of course, if anyone tells you, you chant Hare Krishna, that's just that alone is more than spiritually, and which is more important than everything that Shukra did for Bali. But whatever he had that he was able to offer to Vishnu, of course Vishnu is satisfied with patram, pushpam, palam, tayam, leaf, flower, fruit or water, but as he happened to have the whole universe, he offered everything to him. Sarvasvam Vishnave Dattva Murho Vatishyate Katam. If you offer everything to Vishnu, how will you maintain yourself, you fool? Shukra said to him. So it may be very difficult, but he must have been weighing this up in his mind. It was Vishnu came, Bali wasn't able to do what he wanted to do, to be a devotee, to show himself as a devotee, and Vishnu gave him the chance all at once. Okay, now you surrender everything to me, and then you'll lose everything. Great, good. now it can be clear. I am a follower of Vishnu. So it was great mercy of Vamana to do that. But who to give up. So many disciples of Srila Prabhupada, before they came to him, they were following some useless guru. Quite a few of them had taken the initiation from Yogi Maharshi Yogi Mahesh, this so-called transcendental meditation. $35 you have to pay to get a mantra from him, which is against Shastra, that you should sell mantras. They came to Srila Prabhupada, and apparently he himself said, when he ever he found anyone very inquisitive and asking many spiritual questions, "You just go to Bhaktivedanta Swami." He told them, "The highest, he is teaching the highest thing." So we very, very, very carefully have to understand that we follow our Acharya because he follows his Acharya. And Acharya Mata Jai, Shri Mata Shah, Tar Agya Langhi Chali, Shri Tor Shah. What the, you may say, well, it's his opinion, I have my opinion. But the opinion of the Acharya, that is essential, that is the essence. Whoever tries to flout that becomes useless. Even the GBC of ISKCON itself has on occasion told the disciples of a guru who was initiating within ISKCON, "You leave that. Leave him. Abandon him." In cases where it was seen that the guru had grossly fallen down, in almost all cases. But there is another kind of fall down, which is a philosophical deviation. Now, if we understand Vaishnava teachings, then Shukracharya's deviation was gross. Vishnu comes, you want to offer something, and don't offer to Vishnu. But there may be other philosophical deviations which are not so apparent. It can be very subtle. But anyway, the general principle is that you follow a guru. Seeing that they are following, he is following his Acharya, he's following Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada himself, he came to the Western world. No one in the Western world had any idea of what it means to accept a guru actually. And that a guru, his qualification is that he comes in parampara, he's learned in Shastra, Shabde Parecha Nishnatam, Brahmanyu Pashamashrayam. They didn't know these qualifications of a guru. Therefore, people like this Yogi Mahesh and others were able to come and cheat people. But Srila Prabhupada himself drilled this into his disciples, that I am not an independent authority. Whatever I'm saying, I learn from my guru. Whatever I'm saying, the basis is Shastra. And he would quote Shastra again and again and again to emphasize that what I'm saying, you should follow because it is the truth as given in Shastra through Parampara. He didn't say, I am the guru, I'm saying this, therefore you follow. If anyone says to you, even if you say that, well, here's a Prabhupada disciple, what he says must be right. Not necessarily. It's right if it can be seen to be right in terms of what Srila Prabhupada has taught us and what he has instructed. Otherwise not. It's not automatically that by being a Prabhupada disciple that everything you say is right. It's not automatically that by being known as a disciple of a guru that you're following him. If that was true, then sakale neha mahata yoga nashta parantapa, the phenomenon of the parampara being broken wouldn't happen. How could it happen? if the guru's disciples simply follow what their guru said. Exactly. But if they don't, then if the disciples deviate from the guru, can the parampara be broken. But it does become broken. So these topics, they're vital for us to understand for our own spiritual life. And for the spiritual life of the whole world, the whole world depends on this. Actually, this ISKCON institution, for any hope of being raised from the darkness. Not that there aren't other bona fide Vaishnavas, but as at the present time, we don't see that any movement has the scope of that ISKCON has for spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world. So these topics are important. Imperative, essential to understand. It might be thought that here's one of Bhaktivikasa Swami's speeches against the speaking against ISKCON. It's not speaking against ISKCON. It's outlining the spiritual science that we all need to understand very clearly, without any deviation. It is, after all, a spiritual science. And according to the spiritual science, I can say to my disciples, I am the guru, you follow me. You don't expect me to adjust to you, you adjust to me. I can say that, but you should know that that comes with the qualifier that you can and should question if you don't see how it's exactly in line with what Srila Prabhupada taught us. I can say you follow me. That is my right to say that. That is your duty as a disciple. But you should see also that it's exactly in line with Srila Prabhupada. Otherwise, my qualification to tell you becomes nullified totally. That's the only... it's the only qualification. The qualification to be a guru is that you're a faithful follower of your guru. That's all. Then you should also follow, all of you who are serving in this temple community, you should also follow Gokul Chandra Prabhu, Chittahari Prabhu, Krishnadas Prabhu, the senior devotees, should also follow. Don't think, well, I follow my guru, and don't care about them. Especially the young boys who are studying now, they should be fully grateful and submissive to Chittahari Prabhu, and those who are teaching, you're completely indebted. You should remember throughout your life, don't disobey. Even you may think, well, see, I'm so qualified, and this person, he's just another person. Just another, and anyway, he's got this, why should I bother following? No, you follow because he's following. And because someone's been given that position, because they're entrusted to teach properly, guide you properly. Again, if there's any problem with them, it can be referred. Is he properly following Prabhupada? It could be referred to myself in the case of centers that I'm overseeing. But the general principle is to follow. But in a very rare case, one should not follow. I'll finish there. Does anyone want to? There could be a lot of discussion about this. Any question?
Guru Maharaj, generally, since it is very sensitive...
Please, you have a mic, but you have to still speak a little clearly.
Since this is very sensitive topic, when somebody does something and all others will brand him and then...
Someone does something and all others
something,
will?
Something maybe apparently appears like he's doing not in the line of Guru Maharaj's thinking process, whatever. So others will brand him.
Others will what? Ban him?
Brand him.
If someone does something which is seen to be not in the line of their gurus, others will brand him.
Brand him. And then more than...
You mean they'll get on his case, is it?
Yeah.
Brand literally means to put a hot stamp on someone.
And then even instead of correcting or maybe explaining...
Yeah, well, that we're moving on to another topic now, how to correct someone who appears to be wrong. That's another topic, actually. We don't want to unnecessarily overreact. That's also, we have to see. It may appear that someone's not doing proper, but maybe they have their reasons or they need some help or whatever. Then? Oh, parivada tu, jano yata tata va. Nanu mukaro navayang vichara yamaha. Hari rasa madira madati matta bhuvi vilutama nartama nirvishama. Vancha kalpa tarupyascha kripa sindhubhya evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha.